Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to the CBS Evening News ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery. Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Breaking news, the jury in Donald Trump's New York trial is seated.
Supposed to be in a lot of different places campaigning, but I've been here all day.
The dramatic day in court as 12 Americans are selected to decide the former president's fate in the so-called hush money trial.
The juror called you selfish. How does that make you feel?
The CBS Evening News starts now. Good evening. I'm Nora O'Donnell, and thank you for being with us. We want to begin tonight with that breaking news. A jury of 12 New Yorkers has now been seated for the first criminal prosecution of a former president of the United States. 7 men and 5 women have been selected for the trial of Donald Trump, who's charged with falsifying business records to hide an alleged affair and influence the 2016 presidential election. One alternate has already been selected, and the court needs 5 more to begin the case. The judge said he hopes to have that wrapped up tomorrow. Now, earlier in the day, the case appeared to be heading in the wrong direction. That's because 2 jurors who were already seated were then removed. Tonight, prosecutors are also asking the judge to hold Trump in contempt after they said he repeatedly violated the court's gag order. CBS's Robert Costa was inside the courthouse in Lower Manhattan for today's major developments.
Jury selection stumbled backward and forward today before the 12 jurors who will decide Donald Trump's fate were finally seated. 7 men and 5 women, including one who during questioning referred to Trump as selfish and self-serving, but also promised she could be impartial. After a full day in court, former President Trump vented his frustrations.
I'm sitting here for days now, from morning till night, in that freezing room, freezing. Everybody was freezing in there.
The morning began with 7 jurors in place, but complications flared, underscoring the high-wire act of seating a jury in such a high-profile trial. First, New York Judge Juan Merchan excused juror number 2, a nurse, who said she no longer believed she could be impartial. Aspects of my identity have already been out there in public, she said. Yesterday alone, I had friends, colleagues, and family push things to my phone. Then he dismissed juror number 4, who had called Trump fascinating and mysterious, after it emerged someone with the same name was once arrested for allegedly ripping down conservative political posters, according to prosecutors. Trial consultants say the vetting of these potential jurors is critical.
There is this extra caution because you don't want to go through 6 weeks and all the expense of this and then have a problem with a juror that can cause a mistrial.
Trump was mostly quiet in court, occasionally staring into the jury box, but he's continued to rage about the case on social media, alarming prosecutors who claimed he has violated the judge's gag order 7 times. It's ridiculous. It has to stop. Late today, the former president sharply criticized the judge and District Attorney Alvin Bragg.
You got a DA that's out of control. You have a judge that's highly conflicted.
Among the new jurors, an engineer, a physical therapist, and a banker who said they follow one of the key witnesses in this case on social media, Michael Cohen. They also follow Trump. And the judge said opening arguments could now begin on Monday. Nora.
Wow, Robert Costa, thank you. Tonight, the crackdown at Columbia University, where more than 100 protesters at the Ivy League school were cuffed and carried away by New York police following a second day of demonstrations on campus. The heavy police presence and action came one day after the school's president faced some tough questions on Capitol Hill about the rise of anti-Semitism on campus. CBS's Lilia Luciano reports on the arrests.
For what reason? I'm just standing on the sidewalk.
Police in riot gear detained protesters at Columbia University, loading them into multiple buses as they cleared out students who had camped out in tents on the school's south lawn. The mass protests over the war in Gaza began Wednesday.
Columbia has shown over and over again that they don't care about student rights, they don't care about student voices, they don't care about student safety.
School administrators today asked NYPD to clear the tents and suspended several students who participated, including the daughter of Representative Ilhan Omar, according to a tweet on X. Columbia has been a hotspot of protests since the October 7th attacks, with pro-Palestinian students denouncing the killing of more than 34,000 people in Gaza, most women and children, and what USAID recently called an imminent famine. The school also saw a spike in reports of anti-Semitic rhetoric.
I'm scared to wear a Jewish star here. I've gotten very nasty anti-Semitic comments at me, and I just don't understand how this is accepted.
The unrest comes after the Ivy League University's president was grilled on Capitol Hill yesterday over the school's response to anti-Semitism.
Anti-Semitism has no place on our campus, and I am personally committed to doing everything I can to confront it directly.
Tonight, tensions still hold over the campus.
New Yorkers have every right to express their sorrow, but that heartbreak does not give you the right to harass others, to spread hate.
This protest continues here, as you can hear all around me. At one point, it turned from the chants and the demonstration into a march down the street. They return here to Columbia, and it's expected to continue through the night. Nora?
Lilia Luciano, thank you very much. Well, late today, the U.S. vetoed a U.N. Security Council resolution that would have cleared the way for a Palestinian state to be given full U.N. membership. The U.S. says it would only recognize Palestine as part of a negotiated agreement with Israel. Meanwhile, the Biden administration today responded to Saturday's unprecedented attack on Israel by slapping new sanctions on Iran, targeting its drone production. Israel is also considering military action against Iran. House Speaker Mike Johnson's political future could be on the line this weekend. He's hoping to hold votes on a series of bills that include billions in military aid for Israel and Ukraine. Johnson will likely need help from Democrats to get the bills passed. CBS's Scott McFarlane has been doing his reporting on Capitol Hill all day. What have you learned, Scott?
Nora, a critical and fragile 48 hours ahead as Mike Johnson tries to put down a revolt inside his own party, but also get enough support for that $61 billion plan to help Ukraine ahead of a key vote on Saturday. In an appeal to some of his party's critics who say the government spent enough on Ukraine already, Johnson tonight argues some of the money's in the form of a loan and some of the money will help U.S. defense manufacturers. But that's not enough to satisfy Trump ally in Georgia, Republican Congressman Marjorie Taylor Greene, who again today said she would move to try to remove Johnson as speaker over that Ukraine money, potentially in the coming days. Nora, multiple House Democrats told CBS News late today either they or they think their colleagues would intervene to save him if it meant getting money to Ukraine.
Critical couple days ahead. You are right, Scott. Let me ask you about that key development on the congressional push to ban TikTok. What can you tell us?
Yeah, that foreign aid bill also includes this provision requiring TikTok to be sold or divested from its China-based owner or face a ban in the U.S. in a year, which would strip it from tens of millions of users. Here's the key movement. Senate Commerce Committee Chairwoman Maria Cantwell of Washington, who'd been holding out her support for the bill, today announced she's on board, which could expedite it to the Senate floor. It already has bipartisan support, could be on a fast track, and Nora, TikTok has said these bills encroach on the First Amendment.
A lot to watch. Scott McFarlane, thank you very much. Now to the 2024 presidential election and America Decides. President Biden's campaign is increasingly concerned that the independent bid of Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who promotes conspiracies, could hurt Biden's reelection efforts. So Biden appeared with Kennedy's family, who has denounced their brother's views and his candidacy. CBS's Weijia Jiang with news from the campaign trail.
At a Biden campaign event in Philadelphia,
the Kennedy family endorses Joe Biden for president.
15 members of the Kennedy family, a political dynasty, threw support behind President Biden instead of their own relative, Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
I don't want to become emotional, but what an incredible honor to have the support of the Kennedy family.
RFK Jr.'s sister, Carrie Kennedy, did not mention him by name, but she insisted the race is just between Biden and Donald Trump.
A vote for Joe Biden is a vote for our democracy and our decency.
RFK Jr. has sparked controversy with claims like vaccines cause autism in children, but his family's public endorsement of Biden signals how seriously Democrats are taking his run. So far, Kennedy has secured a spot on the ballot in Utah and Michigan. The Kennedy campaign and its supporters claim they have enough signatures to appear on nearly a dozen other states, including key battlegrounds. Donald Trump says RFK Jr. will be a spoiler for Biden.
I do believe that RFK Jr. will do very well, and I do believe he's going to take a lot of votes away from crooked Joe Biden.
Former Massachusetts Congressman Joe Kennedy II said he would encourage his brother to drop out.
We cannot do anything that in any way strips even one vote from President Biden.
Today, Kennedy tweeted about his family's decision, saying, quote, I am pleased they are politically active. It's a family tradition. He added that they are divided in opinions, but united in their love for each other, though there was clearly no love lost today in Philadelphia. Nora.
Weijia Jiang, thank you. There are new developments tonight in the murder case of the man charged with killing four University of Idaho students in 2022. The defense says suspect Brian Koberger has an alibi for the night of the murders. CBS's Carter Evans has the latest news in this closely watched murder investigation.
Brian Koberger's lawyers say there was no way he could have been at the murder scene and plan to use cell phone data to prove it. The 29-year-old criminology student is accused of brutally stabbing Madison Mogan, Kaylee Gonsalves, Zanner Kernodle, and Ethan Chapin in this Moscow, Idaho house back in 2022. A newly filed alibi claims Koberger was out driving at the time of the murders, as he often did to hike and run and or see the moon and stars, miles away from the crime scene.
The defense is trying to paint a consistent picture here. This was his pattern and practice. Nothing out of the ordinary happened. He liked to drive late at night.
But court documents show Koberger's cell phone had no service or was turned off for 2 hours during the time the murders took place, which is consistent with him attempting to conceal his location. The defense says there was nothing to hide, claiming the cell data will prove that this car, captured on surveillance video shortly before the murders, could not have been Koberger's.
Cell phone evidence is very difficult if that's the only evidence you have on either side, because it's imperfect and because we don't always have our cell phones on us.
But prosecutors also say police found Koberger's DNA on a knife sheath at the scene of the crime.
Which is stronger in court, cell phone data or DNA allegedly found at the scene of the crime?
The prosecution will simply say, you have to follow the scientific evidence, and that's the DNA.
Now, the Gonsalves family tells CBS News they're relieved to finally see the alibi information, and it actually makes them feel more confident about the prosecution. They're just frustrated with all the delays in the case. Nora, a trial date still has not been set.
Don't understand that. Carter Evans, thank you. Well, now to another round of severe weather threatening millions of Americans tonight. In Ohio, communities near Cleveland and Columbus are cleaning up after at least five tornadoes touched down. For a look at where the storms are heading right now, let's bring in meteorologist Chris Warren from our partners at the Weather Channel. Good evening, Chris.
We are tracking severe weather and will be doing so with multiple threats into the overnight hours tonight. This is where severe weather is not just possible, but likely could see a few tornadoes and damaging winds. But the big threat tonight, big time hail, 2 inches or greater. That would be golf ball size hail or even larger. Here's the hail parameter. So in here, that hail parameter is there with these storms, even into the overnight and first thing in the morning. Could be woken up by hail across parts of the South. Another organization issuing their hurricane outlook. This forecast here from the Weather Company, along with Colorado State University, now both saying an above average season. And Nora, I think the main takeaway with this is the fact that if there's more storms, there's more chances for one to make landfall.
Chris, thank you. Extreme weather doesn't begin to capture what's happening in Dubai. This week, the largest city in the United Arab Emirates got about 2 years' worth of rain in one day. And CBS's Chris Livesay reports they're still trying to get one of the world's busiest airports back to normal.
A parched desert turned into a lake. Some 10 inches of rain in a single storm.
What a too much.
More than the United Arab Emirates had seen in 75 years.
Because there is so much of water here.
It's absolutely horrendous. It's the worst I've ever seen it in Dubai. And we've seen some bad storms in the past, but this was like nothing else. It was like an alien invasion. The sky just kept on flashing thunder, non-stop, almost non-stop. I've never seen so much rain in all my life.
In this oil-rich region, luxury vehicles plowed through the highways and streets transformed into muddy rivers as futuristic skyscrapers were swallowed by ghoulish storm clouds. At Dubai International Airport, a wave of flight cancellations and delays, forcing the world's second busiest hub to warn passengers to stay away unless it was absolutely necessary. Schools were closed, homes destroyed, and shopping malls engulfed in water. But rescuers proved ready to evacuate more than just men, women, and children.
Okay, let's go.
Chris Livesay, CBS News, Rome.
Tonight, we've learned what may have caused a major 911 service outage across several states. That's next.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Tonight, 911 service is back in four states that lost it Wednesday night. For hours, millions in Texas, Nevada, South Dakota, and Nebraska had no way to call first responders. Can you imagine? Well, the FCC is investigating, but a company that operates fiber lines says the outage in three of those four states was caused by a contractor who cut one of its lines while installing a light pole. Reading, writing, and Taylor Swift, the music superstar now taking center stage in college classrooms. That's right. That's next. In just a few short hours, Taylor Swift will release her much-anticipated 11th studio album, The Tortured Poets Department. But Swift's cultural impact goes far beyond her music and record-breaking tours. It's now entered college classrooms. Here's CBS's Jolene Kent.
All the marketing strategies in the world will only work if you have a good product to market.
You might not expect a business school course to begin like this.
It's cool. That's what I tell them, no.
But at UC Berkeley, Taylor Swift is not just a tortured poet. She's a case study in how to build an empire.
Taylor Swift is a phenomenon. Her tour has essentially like revitalized so much of the economy and boosted the local economy everywhere she goes.
It's fearless.
Undergrad Sophia Lendahl and Miad Bushala teach artistry and entrepreneurship, Taylor's version.
Her songwriting ability is what gives her her competitive edge in the industry.
To 44 fellow students.
Taylor is so strategic in all the things that she does. When you think of a brand, that's all they ever want. They want loyal customers, and that's what Taylor has.
There's a reason top institutions are studying that. They know that this is like a trend.
Universities nationwide are teaching the Swift Effect in departments from English to political science to gender studies.
Welcome to the Eras Tour!
Swift's successes and failures are part of the syllabus, like the battle to regain control of her master recordings.
We've also learned about some of the implications she's had on legal issues such as artist rights and ticketing legislation, which has been really impactful as well, because that's not something you see every day.
Still, we wondered, with so much tuition on the line,
how did your family react?
My parents were super thrilled. My mom took me to a 1989 concert.
They were like, you have to take this class. You know, if it's not now, never, right?
And Swift now has some students thinking even bigger.
She's incredibly fearless in the ways in which she doesn't mind taking creative risks. To me, it's like I'll climb the corporate ladder. I'll end up as the manager, you know, in 5 years.
You think that you might take more risks.
Yeah.
A la Taylor Swift.
Sure.
Because
sure.
of this course?
Yeah.
A course Taylor made for success.
You'll be the prince.
Jolene Kent, CBS News, Berkeley, California.
Looks like a fun class. Heart of America is next as we remember a founding member of the Allman Brothers Band, Dickie Betts.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Finally, tonight's Heart of America as we pay tribute to a true rock and roll legend. Dickie Betts, guitarist and founding member of the Allman Brothers Band, has died at the age of 80 after a battle with cancer. Betts wrote and performed some of the band's biggest hits, like Ramblin' Man. He also composed the 7.5-minute rock instrumental Jessica, named after his daughter. His talents helped define what became known as Southern rock, inspiring generations of musicians. Dickie Betts, tonight's Heart of America. And that is tonight's CBS Evening News. I'm Nora O'Donnell. Good night.
If you like the CBS Evening News, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Are you ready for an all-new season of Survivor? You better be, because Survivor 46 is here, and it's 90 minutes of twists and turns you don't want to miss. Better yet, after each episode, there's a brand new episode of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. Each week, we go behind the scenes of the episode's biggest moments, taking you into the how and the why things happened. And this season, we're very lucky to be joined by an expert, the winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares.
What is up? I'm thrilled to be joining this team and to be giving you my take on how and the why players made the moves they did, what it takes to outwit, outplay, and outlast, and to ask Jeff some questions, because even after 26 days out there, there is still a lot for me to uncover.
Bring it, Dee. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.